Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on up in the stars above us. So it's been a long weekend. I missed you all on Friday. We had a great day on Friday, though, our anniversary. And even though we couldn't go anywhere and do anything fun or special, we just spent time together, had a wonderful dinner, found out, I thought I was helping my daughter figure out Zoom late in the day because her son was going to need to use it for school. And instead, it was all of our kids, and they were wishing us a happy anniversary and showing us pictures of some new patio furniture that they'd ordered for us that's going to be delivered today. So I'm really excited for that. I'm so thankful. We just have a wonderful family, and I couldn't be prouder of my kids. And it turns out my daughter did not have coronavirus, as I'm just now getting her message to me. So, but it took 10 days, 11 days for that message to come in. That's pretty amazing if you ask me. Okay, so I hope all of you are doing well. I'm just looking around my screen here because everything looks unfamiliar. You'd think after doing this for I don't know how many years that I would know exactly what I was doing, but this morning somehow everything looks different. I tried, oh my God, Facebook and their new changes. It's just insane. And what happens is then everything doesn't work. So they asked me this morning to go to their new live producer. And as soon as I did, it told me that I wasn't allowing my camera and that I had to do that up in my browser. So I look up in my browser and my camera is allowed and it was on. But you know, Facebook and their typical crap way of doing things just isn't ready for us to go to the new set yet. But anyway, that's the way it works some days, right? So this is why I'm ultimately going to change over, just waiting for the new moon to be able to make some major changes in the way that I come to you in the mornings. And let's just check in real quickly, see who's all out here. Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Debbie Hedden. Alisa, good morning, Nini. Good morning. It's good to see everybody out there bright and early. My husband ended up having to take an unexpected week off. What's really ironic is that originally this week he had off because we were going to be on a cruise with our daughter, son-in-law, and two grandkids. But long about November, it just seemed like, you know, nothing was coming together for it and just things, one thing after another. So I actually canceled it, canceled my husband and I going on the trip. I left his vacation days on though, so that we could go and do something if, you know, the kids were still gone. But then as it turns out, the reason why I couldn't seem to get everything together to go with on the cruise was because of this coronavirus. And now even my daughters, let's see, it was supposed to be, they would be on the cruise right now. Then it got changed to leaving April 18th. And now even that's been canceled. So eek, changes, right? So my husband said to his boss, well, I'll give in my vacation days and I'll just go to work, which was all fine. And then came the added additional month quarantine here in Washington until May 4th. So now they're going to take turns taking weeks off. The good news is he gets paid, doesn't have to use his vacation time as they've given everybody extra 80 hours of pay for the COVID virus. So, I mean, for use if they had to take time off. So it's his turn to take a week off. So he's going to be here with me today when our new furniture gets here. And that means he's here with me all week as well, changing up my schedule as time goes on. Good morning, Heather Scott and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Oh, no. She says Arthur's now sick in Jacksonville. Poor kid. Hopefully it is not the coronavirus. Linda Marie, good morning. And I see lots of people popping in and out this morning. So if I fail to greet you, it's okay. It's not that I'm ignoring you. It's that somehow your comment stream is moving through very quickly and I miss it. So good morning to all of you. And let's break down into the, God, what's going on? Elisa says, what? I see you now. Weird. It's probably my screen. Oh, okay. Well, I see me now too. So it's who knows, right? Who knows what's going on? Let's go into the astrology of the day. So today we start out with the moon in Virgo, and literally the moon was in Virgo over the weekend. Could have told you that as I was focused on doing some things to get ready for the coming of my new furniture and, you know, getting things squared away. Today, though, the moon starts out the day in void, which is when the moon is not making any more new contacts to anything before it changes signs. So the next time it makes a connection is exactly when it changes out of Virgo and into Libra, which then means it's getting prepared for the full moon, which occurs tomorrow evening. So today we have a void from 6:29 a.m. West Coast time until 2:16 p.m. West Coast time. So 9:29 a.m. East Coast to 5:16 p.m. So literally pretty much the entire workday is encompassed in a void of course moon. And that means that we may have trouble gaining traction to get anything done. It might be just a really good day to go with the flow and not worry so much about making sure you're on target or that you're on time or that things are going to flow exactly how you want them, because it's completely and utterly out of your time or out of your control. So we are in the getting ready to switch over into the sign of Libra, which is a sign base that rules relationships, marriages, collaborative events, ways that we come together to work together, cooperate. I always call it the three C's: collaboration, co-creation, and cooperation, all three embodied in that sign. And the moon moving here gets us prepared to be working in that arena. And it is also a sign that brings balance and harmony, or issues around balance and harmony. Here's where we have an opportunity to weigh opposing views, to mediate between two oppositions, right? We mediate, we try to come to a meeting of the minds in the middle. We're concerned more about equality in our negotiations and in our treating of one another. And of course, Libra is also a very aesthetic type of sign, where beauty, the arts, and decor are highly important. They have an eye to beauty. And so we may have an eye to decorating and beautifying our environments over the next couple of days. We do have to watch out for a couple of things, as we always do in any sign. And that is, in Libra, there's that waffling energy, the indecision. I'm not sure what I really want, because there I can see so quickly the results of this one and the results of this one, and eek, which one's better. And so indecision is something we'll have to watch for. We also have to watch out for being a yes person, a yes woman, a yes man. There's nothing, ideally, there's nothing wrong with saying yes. And it's not that I take exception to with this sign, but what I do take exception to is when we say yes to everything so that we can keep peace in the family, or so that we don't have to disrupt the status quo, or that we don't have to really stand our own ground. And that's something that Libra in the shadow has trouble with. They say yes just to say yes. Or if the group is going along with no, then they'll say no without really thinking about what is it that I really want, right? Because they've gotten so used to blending their energies into and cooperating with other people that they lose their own selves in that. So we have to watch out for that. Wherever that is in your chart is where you may have a tendency to do this in your life. So if it's in your first house, for example, you may give away yourself a lot to other people. If it's in the second house, which is a resource house, you may give away your resources to people without thinking, and on throughout the astrology chart. So we also have to watch getting lost in our relationships, where we lose our own identity. Being a part of a relationship is about learning how to balance you with them. So it is a balancing act, and it isn't I give away myself or I take away from the other. It's that we come into harmony and balance. So that's what we're looking for Libra energy. Tomorrow, the full moon in Libra has its own set of circumstances, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. The other thing today that we have to be aware of is that the sun has now moved to a new gate in your human design. It is now sitting at the gate 51, which is the gate of shock. And I want you to watch closely what is happening on the world stage from, let's see, it began actually on the, because I wasn't on air on Friday. It was actually beginning on Saturday, the 4th. So the same day that we had the Jupiter-Pluto conjunction, where the headline was about 630 deaths in one day in New York City, we had this gate of shock that the sun was sitting at. And the earth is sitting at the gate 57, which is a gate of the fear of the future, but it is also a gate of intuition. And it's interesting because the conspiracy theories are flying. They're fast, they're furious, they're deep, they're stupid, they're insane, they're inane. It's crazy the amount of information that's out there that you're getting barraged with. If you choose to look at it, it's out there, right? Crazy, crazy stuff. Literally all of these things that are going on, and I'm not going to talk about the veracity of any of it because really, I don't know. I truly don't know what's true, what's not, what's bullshit, what's real, right? That stuff, that's not up to me. But what I can tell you is that with the sun sitting at the gate 51, it is all about initiating an awakening for all of us. And we're all going to be awakened in a different way, right? Because we're all sitting at a different place in our evolution. So a conspiracy theory that someone buys into might be the tool of awakening for someone else, while someone else sitting in meditation and, you know, praying peace or praying for healing may be a road for initiation for another person. So we have all of these different roads. No road is right. No road is wrong. Say that 10 times fast. It is all incumbent upon what is going on for you personally. So I've had to really holding back my opinion about these things as people pass them on. And my opinion is that I'm just not going to comment, right? So if you are someone who has sent me that kind of stuff, I won't comment because it is just not my reality. And I would suggest you all come down in your own reality. If it is your reality, great. Live it, breathe it, right? If it makes you feel good, go with it. If it doesn't make you feel good, then maybe you're in the wrong place. Move over, right? Move over. So this week is all about that awakening within us, that initiating energy. This is a gate, by the way, that brings together the will center or the heart center to the identity center. This is an area that's split as we dawned into the scientific age, and it had the effect of really separating us in some very key ways, separating our own energy. We are tapped into separation both within ourselves. And then of course, because we are, the outer world is just a mirror of what's going on, then we also see that going on in the outer world. So this week is an opportunity to seal the breach, right? Bring it all together, see how we are one, see how you indeed are one, that everything and nothing is true. Everything and nothing is true, right? That is kind of the lesson that we have going on this week. The other part of the message is that the earth is sitting at a gate that brings us into ourselves, into our intuition, into a search for clarity, a search for really finding that truth based on what we feel inside, not all this fuzz and noise that's going on outside of us, because all of that is manipulation. But what's going on inside? If you check inside with you, is it all clear, right? What's going on? That's where you're going to find your truth. That's where you're going to find your own personal awakening. And the week's energy support that, even in the midst of Mercury's move into the gate of turbulence and the shadow energies of the week, which are agitation and unease, and a full moon that lights up, just is lit up by almost every negative aspect that you can think of. So this week provides us with a lot of fodder for initiating that awakening. Hold on. The one thing I didn't have time to do this morning was get my allergy medicine taken. So my pardon. So we have a lot of potential for that negative energy stirring the pot, right? That maelstrom of craziness that is the outer world at the moment, and moving inward toward ourselves, toward our hearts, where it's all peaceful and calm, right? And even though that outer world is insanity, we can be sane inside when we choose not to tap into that craziness in the outer world, right? And that's something that we all have to do on an individual basis. That's not something that I can give to you. And that's not something that anybody out there can give to me. It is something that we each have to address in our own way, in our own lives, and support one another's process toward that end. So there's that energy. Now, the Pleiadian Earth energy is interesting too, because we entered into a new week yesterday. So I'm going to talk a bit about that energy, and then I'll transition into what is going on in today's energy. So yesterday was the one day. And remember how we've been talking about this now, one, and the energy of that day forms the umbrella for which we will go through all 13 days of the week, because this isn't a week that's mechanical in nature, like our calendar there that tells me today is April 6th. It is a calendar that charts our evolution in consciousness. And so our consciousness yesterday began a new row, a new spiral at one breathing. Breathing energy in the Mayan calendar was ik, which represented the wind, right? Air, moving air, not just stagnant air, but moving air. And the act of breathing in and breathing out, right? Breathing in, breathing out. So we have an initiation and a new beginning around ideas and change and the sort of disruption energy that comes with that kind of change that the wind brings. So we may feel unstable during this 13-day period, right? We may feel a little bit restless as new information and unpredictable changes are occurring in our world. There are literally barriers being crashed down that have been used in the past to make us feel secure and stable. So everything right now is about really showing you what you need and what you really don't need in your world. And that's happening on all levels, right? Both the physical, the mental, emotional, and the spiritual level. What's true, what isn't. And so we may feel very insecure while all of this is tumbling down around us, but it is an energy that helps us to remember that we, along with everything that's going around us, are waves of energy. And as such, we are always in change, right? So things are always changing. That's the one thing we can count on, is that nothing stays the same. Everything is in a process of evolving, dissolving, and rebuilding and reconstruction and all that kind of stuff, reconstructing. So this time period, then these 13 days are all about how the world is changing, how we ourselves are changing in response to what's going on in that outer world, and how it is that we want to build what comes next, right? So one gives us that new beginning. Breathing energy is the umbrella that we are working with throughout the whole of the week. Now today we move into the dark, if it were, as it is sort of the way things work in this kind of Pleiadian system, right? We see the light of a new beginning, an initiation energy, new ideas, new things coming, and then we move into the listening energy. Today is two listening. And the two energy, every time it comes up, is a call for us to merge dualities, right? To understand the real true nature of duality, where on one hand we have separation and on the other hand we have unity, and that they are just different sides of the same coin, that you cannot have one without the other. And instead of using duality as a device for separation, tearing ourselves apart or polarizing, use it as a way to understand that we live in a spherical sort of world, and there's all of this good energy that we, good, even using that word, good, I just thought that good and bad, again, we have that duality, but it's all part and parcel of the same thing, right? Experience and growth and evolution. So we have to be able to use the energy of duality appropriately, which is validating that even if you have a different point of view, that you're not wrong, I'm not wrong, it's all part of the one, right? The one. And all, it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle, right? And the giant jigsaw puzzle, even though you've only, you know, put this corner, it's just a part, it's not true that this part doesn't belong to the whole, or that the whole doesn't belong to this part, right? It's one big picture, even if some of the parts look different. or if they're missing or if they're not there. In fact, a puzzle with a piece missing, you all know, I'm sure, if you've ever experienced that, how annoying that is, right? To have a puzzle and one piece missing. So we need all the pieces. We need all the pieces. So we need everybody, right? Including those that we, you know, want to marginalize and push out away from us, and including those that we want to draw in and bring to us. They're all part of this big jigsaw puzzle that is called life on planet Earth. Now, the listening energy was Akbal in the Mayan calendar, which was a representation of the dark, of nighttime, right? Of the feminine energy, where we have one was the masculine energy that pulses outward. The energy of listening brings us inward. And this is times where we see a world in trouble, and that it brings up a need for us to be deeply listening with different ears, right? The ears are an organ of hearing, but we need to be listening. And listening is something that's done whole body, right? Whole body, whole soul. So it's a time to be listening to the voice of the universal soul, and not the conspiracies and the quackeries and the human confusion and the human delusion. Yes, it's there, but it isn't where we're going to find peace. It isn't where we're going to find answers. It isn't where we're going to find what comes next. We're going to find that inside from the universal soul. And this energy calls us to that stillness, right? To that quiet, enabling us to hear the still small voice within us, right? Our voice from the heart, our inner voice. And it encourages us then to create from a vision of a better world by listening to that voice, to listening deeply within. It's almost like putting your ear to the earth and hearing what Mother Nature is saying, right? Being able to hear what Mother Earth, Gaia, is whispering to us, putting your ear to the sky and hearing what it is that Father Sky or God or Source or Cosmic Source energy is bringing us. And that is our possibility here as we move deeper into the day-to-day with listening, that pulse of duality, and listening deeply to the dark energy, to the dark energy that is still, not dark as in ugly, but just dark, and maybe even the void, right? We're in a void of course moon. It's a great time then to go delving deeper within and finding out what more is possible from within. Okay, quick switch over here to Facebook. Good morning, Kamal. Good morning, Dusa. And Angela Matherkeel, good morning. She says, starts the week of homeschooling schedules for 3 plus the baby. So far it's going well, and I can pop on here for a minute too. Nice, thanks for joining us. Good morning, Colleen. Great to see you all. I'm going to quickly show you, I think I did bring it. Yes, I did. So I'm going to quickly show you what the human design chart looks like for the day. And there you go. We should be seeing it right now. And it's really a beautiful, all human design charts are different, by the way. This is a chart for just a snapshot of time. And literally in a couple of hours, this will change because the moon will move, right? The moon moves the fastest. And as it moves, it changes up the configuration of the human design chart. So this morning, the moon is sitting at the gate 6 right here on the emotional center, which makes this a third gate on the emotional center to be hanging. And here, as the emotional solar plexus is all about how we work with emotion, emotion is moody. Emotion is changeable. It's quixotic, and it doesn't necessarily hang. If you're feeling emotion all on your own, when it meets up with another person, then it can become expressed. So we have, depending on how your chart is set up today, you have 3 possible ways in which the emotion you're feeling can connect to others, whether it is through boredom, anxiety, and turbulence, whether it is through grace and charm, and or whether it's through impact. This is the gate we consider sometimes the gate of love and war. So how very Libra, right? Libra and Aries, opposite signs from one another, an axis that represents love and war. Who are we at war with? Is it with ourselves? Is it with another? Is it with the outer world versus the inner world? All kinds of things coming up that can trigger very powerful emotional responses. And so today is going to be one of those times in our lives where we really, really need to understand emotional energy and not be reactive to it, but be in response to it, which means we choose how it is that we are going to act based on what we're feeling. So for example, when a button gets triggered, you know, someone pushes your button, that in that moment that you choose, you can react, which means that you, you know, maybe you yell at them, maybe you, I don't know, who knows, maybe you, you know, get angry and you just start spewing things at them. But if you breathe for a moment, you can take that air into your lungs and give yourself a moment, then you can respond. And response says, I can walk away, I can choose not to respond, or I can choose to say, thank you for your opinion, go on your merry way. Whatever it is today, just be very careful that you don't knee-jerk and create, you know, more anger and upset out in the world. Trust me when I say we just do not need more of that out there. Now, here's another interesting connection that we have. First of all, let me show you where gate 51 is. Here's gate 51 on the ego center, will center, heart center, depends on what terminology that you've heard it. It means all the same thing. This is the center for the management and allocation of resources. So for me, when we call it the heart energy, it's a misnomer to me. And I just have trouble calling it that, because to me, heart energy isn't about ego and it isn't about managing and allocating resources, but it is about individuating. And it is about, in terms of the open center here, competition and how we, you know, push ourselves into situations that we don't necessarily need to be in. This split from the identity center, which is the seat of the soul, makes it so that we have this ego. We can also call this the ego center, and we have the soul. And yet they're connected via this channel, 5125, 51 being the gate of shock and awakening, and initiation into a higher way of being that draws the heart or the ego center, the will center, back to the soul via the gate 25 at universal love, right? This is the gate of universal love. So this life that you're living is really about, how do I bring these two parts of myself together, my ego self and my soul self, my divine self and my physical self. And right here in your human design, you see where it is that we can bring this together. Now, once together, then we are able to live as one being, one unit. It's unity, it's togetherness, it's oneness. But we are living in a world where we see ourselves as separate. And the healing path is about seeing how we can still be individuals, but also part of a whole, right? So there we have that. Now, this earth energy is down here at 57, which is on the spleen. So as soon as we see it on a spleen, we know it is possibly also demonstrating a fear to us in some way, or a paralysis point in our charts. And the gate 57 is the gate of intuition. It is the most highly intuitive gate in all of the human design. It's interesting because often when I speak to people who carry the gate 57, they do not realize how intuitive they really are. In fact, they go, well, I'm not psychic. I'm not intuitive. I don't hold that wisdom. And every time I have to remind them that they carry it, they're broadcasting it, they have it. And even if they don't believe that they have that, they're still taking action in their lives based on an inner voice or an inner guidance system. Now we're all tapped into that inner guidance system, right? And 57 is finding its way directly to the throat center via the gate 20, which is where Venus happens to be sitting right now. So our ability to tap in and listen to our inner voice has a way to be able to express itself directly up to the gate of in the throat, which is the gate of being able to know exactly what to do in the right time, in the right place, with the right people, at the right opportunity. And 57 is also connected to the south node that is sitting here at the gate 10, which is a gate that is about the love of self. So on one hand, we may be feeling a little bit self-obsessed, selfish. We have to watch for that. On the high side, we are being very altruistic, and from a place of self-centeredness, we are able to move out toward the North Node, which sits here at 15, and be altruistic, humanitarian, and reach out to help others. So that's what we have as the potential here. Note also that the 10, the South Node here, is also connected to the gate 20 at the throat. In human design, when we look at this through the mystic journey, we call this the Buddha channel. So the 10 to the 20 becomes a place where a love of self connects with the love that we want to share of ourselves then to the world, right? So we find ways in which we can share of ourselves, but also others find us and ask us for our wisdom. So we have that as well going on today. To me, it just makes this kind of a there's a huge split here between what's the highest and best that we can express through our intuition and our representation of wholeness and not separation versus our emotional center over here, where we are emotional babes. We really do not know exactly how to use emotional energy yet. And this is where things can go wrong for us if we react or knee-jerk to the things that are going on outside of us with other people, the news in the outer world, etc. So here we have to learn. Here we have all as well. So it's an interesting split today, I see. Isn't it interesting to find a split like that on a duality day, right? Today's the two energy. So we are learning how to bring both halves together, how to live as an intuitive being in an emotional world, and how we can use our emotions to guide us to the right response to all things that we show that show up in our outer world. So we have that. Okay, stop sharing that for a moment. Go back over here. Questions, comments. How's everybody doing out there? No new comments. Good, good. So I think that is it for me this morning. I'm going to try to make it shorter this week as my husband is at home, and that makes me feel like I need to go and be with him. And I want to be with him. It's not that I have to do that. But before I leave, I thought maybe what I would do is take the cards that are the North Node and the South Node. And because the gate 10 is the one that's being hit the hardest this week, or at least in this moment, here is the gate 10. And it is in the gift. It is the gift of naturalness, right? Gate 10 is naturalness. And that's I don't know, something about her reminds me of Cher. I don't know, but she's got a very wistful look, contemplative look to her. So let's see if we can read the wisdom story. By the way, this is from Rosie Aronson's The Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, The 64 Faces of Awakening. And this will be the gate 10. I'm gonna take another drink here. So gate 10, and what it says is, once you understand that you are neither your name or your actions, feelings, thoughts, or beliefs, you realize that human nature is something far greater and wider than you ever suspected. So the shadow is self-obsession, the gift is naturalness, and the city is being, human being. Nice, right? Here's the wisdom story. My parents and my culture always prioritized the collective over the individual. As a young girl, I mastered the art of self-denial and invisibility. I lived through and for the people around me. Over time, I started to feel like I was drowning, like I couldn't breathe, until an anger rumbled so loudly within me, I could no longer deny it. Suddenly, my survival no longer depended on my disappearing. It depended on my ability to reject my family and conditioning at all costs. I could no longer risk losing myself, so I became obsessed with myself. I wanted to know myself, be myself, dress like myself, act like myself, even pray and commune with spirit like myself. I looked to the West to show me how to be a true individual. I became so good at being me that no one could penetrate my fortress of selfhood or my heart. I couldn't afford to be sensitive or to care how my way of being impacted others. I believed most people wanted to change or trap me. The rest of them, in my opinion, needed changing themselves. It wasn't until all of my relationships fell apart that I realized just how narcissistic I'd become. It took courage to see and own just how angry, paranoid, and impenetrable I was, and how in my fear of losing myself, I'd been pushing people away. Today, I feel great compassion for myself and all beings who suffer as we struggle to find our way in life, to live out our true nature. It took me years to feel safe enough to let go of all the identity trappings I gathered along the way and to fully grasp that my true nature is beyond all definition. Now I know that we can only experience and operate as a unity if we allow ourselves to be our unique natural selves. Right? No one wants to take you away from you. We want you to add you to the unity of whole, or the wholeness of unity. Here's my gift to you. I see you striving to discover who you are, and I know how difficult it can be to answer this deeply human question. While you're searching for yourself, do not forget or to enjoy the journey. There will be a time when you can just let it all go. In the end, you are not what you do or what you know. You are not your thoughts, feelings, or beliefs, nor are you your looks or job description. Over time, as this truth sinks in and as you stop arguing with your life, you will find yourself becoming more grounded, centered, and full of joy, more relaxed, free, and at ease. Whatever is in your heart, whatever you're meant to do or express, will simply arise out of you with naturalness. I'm here to remind you that you are far more splendid than your mind could ever grasp, and your authentic nature is destined to bloom and contribute to the magnificent garden of which we're all a part. Graciously take a bow, get out of your own way, and let it happen. Here are your questions for contemplation. Remember, this is the South Node. So these are the parts of ourselves that we might have forgotten that are true. Okay, so questions for contemplation. Where are you compromising or losing yourself to others or in others? Where are you self-obsessed or clinging too tightly to an identity, a way of thinking, being, or doing? Where might you still be playing the martyr? Where do you need to stop compromising? Think of a time you experienced true naturalness, when you fully relaxed in your own skin. What about that situation brought out the naturalness in you? In what ways can you expand your sense of self, of being? Write your reflections in your journal. There we go. So again, that is the card 10, of which the South Node is sitting right now, the gate of naturalness, or the gene key, the gift of which is naturalness. Okay. Any questions or comments about that? Loved the split definition and the duality HD story of the day. Meditation material. It is, exactly. Allison says, could we have an animal spirit card for the collective? We can indeed. And I'm so glad you're here to remind us of that, Miss Allison. Okay, let's do this. So these are from Colette Baron-Reed's deck called Spirit Animal. And, oops, I'm getting back to Zoom. Here we go. The Spirit Animal Oracle. And let's draw a card. By the way, Colette Baron-Reed does a weekly card pull on her, I'm not sure if it's on her YouTube channel, but you can go to her website and look for that too. So a lot of people tap into that. She's highly intuitive. Remember, she's someone I met a year ago. Gosh, I can't even believe it's been a year. So we get wombat spirit, be at home. Ooh. Interesting wombat, 68, which is a 14, which is a 5. So it's some change energy there. But wombat spirit itself says be at home, be at home. So let's read what that is, 68. It must be one of the last cards of the deck. Maybe it is the last card of the deck. It is. Okay, wombat spirit, and it was upright, says, burrowing deep into the ground, remaining safe, sound, and well-fed with family is a special trait of the wombat. Home, sweet home, is always available if you recognize that well-being is the truth of life. Wombat spirit reminds you that to be truly at home in the world, you need to find comfort within your own skin. You do this by accepting all your experience without judgment through a deep honesty and love of life. When you feel the freedom to be yourself, you can begin to truly feel at home in your life with your family and tribe. Right now, you're in a beautiful place where you can hang up the coat of your identity and settle into a true sense of home and well-being, understanding that all is well. Everything you do from this place rings true in harmony with spirit. Cool. That's a great card to get on a week where a lot of people are likely starting to feel the pressure of being at home, right? The stay at home, stay healthy orders that have gone out through most of the states in the country. So maybe that will bring us some comfort for the week ahead. Thank you, Allison, for asking for that. And last check before I check out, Mimi says, wow, perfect message. Wombat knows. Exactly. Amy says, wow, that's a perfect card for the collective right now. Literally, it jumped out of the deck. And so I love it when that happens because I know I didn't do that. Spirit did that. So there we have. All right, everybody, have a great day. I'll post up a little bit later the card and the contemplation questions for you if you choose to go through that. And see you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock right here, Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Have a great day, everyone. Bye for now.